Yeah, and we'll go to Philippians 1 to start with, but remember, he's the reason for the season. It's not just a great marketing ploy to get everybody in debt. It's because of Jesus Christ did come once, and he's going to come back. And he is the Savior of the world. And when that announcement was originally made, everybody in the world knew he was coming. Of course, there's only two people. Back in the Garden of Eden, or outside the garden, it was Adam and Eve, and the fallen angel Lucifer happened to be there, and God was there, and everybody knew about a promised seed. And the promised seed eventually did come. So, this time frame, you hear things like, Merry Christmas. And at one time, that used to have my hair fall out. So I had to stop having that happen because I didn't have much hair left.
It's coming back.
It's coming back. Not soon enough. But the point was is that Christ never had a mass that was put together by certain people out of Rome, and they did a very good job of selling people, and those who didn't believe it, they lost their head. So that became a very good saying. And but at least part of it is accurate with the Christ part. At least Christ is being mentioned in this day and time with the rise of many, many other things. It's great that Christ is even mentioned at all. And even now and then you have manger scenes with the right people in them, which is good because they're starting to get generic manger scenes and putting other people in them. But the manger scene, when you see something like that, again, it draws attention to the one who the entire Word of God, all of history centers around. And of course, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians 1, verse 15, we read, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therefore do rejoice, and yea, and will rejoice. So, we can rejoice in this time frame when anybody mentions Christ, because that's a good thing. Christ being the center of attention for the whole world, and he is the Savior of the whole world, no matter how they want to market him, at least he's being marketed. You know, my children like to find things. You may know my two children. They like to find Jesus on Band-Aids and all kinds of different things like that. What's that?
Tape.
Yeah, Jesus tape instead of your basic duct tape. It's Jesus tape and all kinds of things like that. So it's one of those where you can rejoice instead of looking at it as being blasphemy, that at least Christ is being brought out and mentioned. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. So we can rejoice in this time, and also it's an open door. I was persuaded to go to Drifters the other day. It's a hamburger place here in town, up by the mall, and it's the guy used to own Classic. And I went there, and I was talking with the major. Anyway, he didn't know you. He's getting ready to retire, and we got right into the Word. And we got to bring up Christ, and he's talking. He homeschools his five children, and he's thinking about, he gets out next year, where to go. This is a great place to live and raise your children. Let me see. Gracie, where are you?
Here.
Okay, Gracie, there you go. Has this been a good place for you to live and grow up? Okay, there it is, out of the words of babes. Good. All right. In 1 Corinthians 3, but we were able to immediately go into, because of the season, about Christ. So when the door opens, we can rejoice and we can bring him up. And that's the key as to what we're looking at. So let's talk about Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3:8 says, now he that plants and he that waters are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And this is the subplot, the subpoint. You have a major point, which is Christ, and then you have a second point, and this is going to be our own labor. Everybody will receive their own reward according to their own labor. Because we are laborers together with God. We work together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon, but let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. No other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, there again is the key. The foundation for building has to be everything off of Jesus Christ. People will add to it. People will, unfortunately, will try and take away from it. But the key everything needs to do and be is built off of Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians 2. And if you build accordingly, everybody will receive their own rewards according to their own labors. Ephesians 2, again, adds to that point. Ephesians 2:19. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers, and you're not foreigners anymore, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. Everything is built off of Jesus Christ. The apostles added to it. Prophets added to it, but it was all built off of and about Jesus Christ. He's the focal point. He's the key. He's the red thread throughout the Word of God. So, if he's the chief cornerstone, we need to build and labor accordingly, off of him, off of his accomplishments, off of his works. Look at John 3. I put this verse in here so that there'd be no doubt when you watch any sporting event what's important. John 3:16. So, Jesus Christ is the foundation, chief cornerstone. Everything we need to do is to preach it about is Jesus Christ. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. So this is where it starts. Out of love, God did something. He gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So he is the Savior of the world. Nobody else can do it. Buddha didn't do it. Muhammad didn't do it. Past presidents like McKinley and Roosevelt didn't do it. And all kinds of things like that. So God did it because of love. He gave his Son, so we need to believe regarding him. This is God's plan of redemption, God's plan of salvation for all of mankind. He accomplished it, and it's based on love. So, should we attune our lives with Jesus Christ? Should we become Jesus Christ men and women?
Yes.
All right, at least three or four you believe that. Okay, good. All right. And that's the point. We can align ourselves with the Word of God, with God, his Word, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we're in tune doing whatever it is God needs us to do. Jump up to John 6. But it's all based on love. So we attune our lives with his plan. And then we're rewarded because Christ is the foundation which we work off of. And we're rewarded accordingly. John 6:26 says, Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracle, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. All right, so people were hanging around for the circus. They were getting fed. They were seeing miracles. They were getting fed food. And so they hung around. They wanted to see, hey, food. All right, I'll be there. That's what Jesus is saying. You know, you guys aren't listening to the word I'm teaching. You're not taking it to heart. You're just here to see what's going on. Right? Labor not for meat which perishes. He's taking it up a couple of notch. Nothing wrong with good food. It'll be wonderful here shortly. But food which will endure unto everlasting life, which again the Son of Man shall give you, because God and him are working hand in hand. Then say they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And there's so many people that have that question. What does God want me to do? What can I do to work for God? Verse 29 is the answer. Jesus gives it. We know it's important. It's in red. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. There's the work. Isn't that a great work? You don't have to help, old ladies across the street anymore. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord. God raised him from the dead. Everlasting life, and everything is attuned with him as the foundation at the center. Then say therefore unto him, what sign showest thou that we may see and believe? You know, what does thou work? Show us a sign. Our fathers, they got to eat manna in the desert. Remember manna? The good, wholesome, they could do all kinds of good things with it, tasty, free food that they got for 40 years. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said, verily, verily, unto you, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven. I have to correct you guys, but really, it came from my Father. He is the one who gave the food. Moses just said, okay, God's going to do it. Here it is. I'm the messenger. But it came from God. For the bread of God is he which comes down. Okay, let's start 32 again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. And the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world. And they said, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. That's pretty pointed. I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes in me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And verse 40, and this is the will of God. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone would seize the Son, and believes regarding the Son, that believes on him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So, again, what is God's will? Believe on the Son. The Son's the focal point, the foundation, the reason, not for just this season, but for all seasons. Right? For hunting season, for skiing season. All right. So, that's the point. Again, Christ, the focal point. The true bread of life. Go to Romans 8. This is a scripture that gets quoted many times, taken out of context, but also only half quoted. So we'll read the whole scripture. Romans 8:28. The will of God, believe on him. See the Son, hear the Son, receive everlasting life. And then Romans 8:28. Align our lives with him. And we know that all things work together. And that's where people stop. Yeah, it just happens. It's going to happen. It's God's plan. No, there's a few parameters in this verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that, number one, love God. So if you're going to do the things of God and be a fellow laborer with him and work with him and be on the same team and keep Christ in the middle, it starts by loving God. Everything will work together for good if you love God. To them who are called according to his purpose. And that's the second part. Called according to his purpose. Well, we just read his purpose. To make known the Son. To let people know about the Son. To believe on the Son. To make others aware of the Son. To keep the Son as the foundation and focal point of our lives. So, Romans 12 tells us to report to duty. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, by the compassion of God, then, that you present your bodies. George, you presented your body one day, didn't you, at the academy? Yes, sir. And they have owned you ever since. So to speak. All right. Well, present your bodies. You present. You first thing you do is show up, right? You got to get on the bus and then get off the bus. You had to show up. So that's the first thing God expects us to do. You know, show up. Show up as a willing, living sacrifice. Holy, set apart for God's work. Acceptable to God. Because that's your Your draft card status for us older people. All right, your reasonable service, your religious service, your logical service. And then, if you're going to be wholly acceptable unto God and be a volunteer, be not conformed to the world. You know, you just can't be you just can't lock into this current age. You don't live for this day and time only. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because when you do that, when you lock into the Jesus Christ and all the greatness of the things he's accomplished for us, then you can prove what's good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Because we want to lock into the will of God, the desires of God, and do what God wants us to do. Don't we?
Yes.
All right. Okay, good. All right. Good. 1 Corinthians 12 reminds us even more of this. So, 1 Corinthians 12, 18. We're to prove to others the will of God. And the will of God is making known the Son. So we make known the Son. 1 Corinthians 12, 18. Another great reminder. But now has God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. God, remember, I could stop right there. God, remember, you know, we're aligning ourselves with him. He said, believe on my Son. The Son accomplished things for you. It's pleasing to put all of you in the body of Christ, doing what you're doing in the body of Christ, aligning yourself as a member in the body of Christ with what he wants you to do. And it changes and differs all the time. But what doesn't ever change is talking about Christ, the foundation of the body, the head of the body, everything being built off of him. Verse 27 tells us, now you are the body of Christ, and you are members in particular. You are a particular member of the body of Christ, a very needful, useful part. So, do what you're supposed to do. God has put them there as it has pleased him. So, did you... where's my three Denver people again? You guys all came up, all drove together, right? And everybody wanted to drive. So everybody sat in the driver's seat, all three of you. No. One person was the driver. James was the driver. Okay. Good job, James. You got everybody here. Okay. but that's it. The other two people got to play with the music and text each other and do all the other... they got to speak in tongues and other wonderful things like that. So, 2 Corinthians 5. So... different functions, different parts in the body of Christ, different, but everybody's important, everybody's a member in particular. 2 Corinthians 5, 9. I mean, if everybody just brought dessert, now that'd be good, but it's better that we have a variety from the what is it now, 7 different food groups? They keep raising it and changing it since I was there. So, all right, 2 Corinthians 5, 9, we read, wherefore we labor, that, whether present or absent, we labor to be accepted of him. We're already a child of God, but we do our role in the body of Christ. So we labor. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Nobody gets out of it. You can't send somebody in your stead. Everybody goes. Everybody receives. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he has done, whether it's good or bad. The judgment of rewards, the bad is forgotten, and we'll be rewarded for what we do, keeping Christ at the center and walking in love. That's all going to be there. So we labor to be well-pleasing unto him. Look at verse 14. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they now which live, that's us, we're alive, should not henceforth live unto ourselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We've been bought, we've reported for duty, and now we should live for him, whatever it is he needs us to do. So we jump down to verse 18. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by this Jesus Christ person. He keeps coming up. We're reconciled. God paid the price through Jesus Christ. And now we're in Jesus Christ's little zoo, you know, because we're going to be exhibited in Ephesians for all ages. of God's grace. Look at that person. That's definitely God's grace. You know, that's what it's going to be like. And we all fit there. So, all right. Now, by Jesus Christ, reconciled to God. Then he took it a step further and he said, you guys, you people who are alive now, you have the ministry of reconciling men and women back to God. To wit, that God was in Christ. God in Christ. God worked out a plan. Christ carried it out. And he reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Imputing or accounting. All right, God doesn't have angels, and their entire job is just to keep track, keep account of every little thing you do wrong. That's a good thing. Okay. Right. He's not accounting or imputing our trespasses. He's not keeping track of the bad things. Instead, he's keeping track of the good things. And he has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So it is up to us then to teach others about Christ, because we're ambassadors for him. As though God did beseech you, or beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, a little parenthetical here, who knew no sin, that we, as a result of his work, might be made the righteousness or justness of God in him. Thus, we then should be workers together with him. We align ourselves with what God wants, what Jesus Christ accomplished, and we let others know about the goodness of God. So that you didn't receive the grace of God in vain, to no purpose. That, okay, ladies and gentlemen, at the Bema, here he is, Mr. Ryan Freyark, and everybody applauds, and then go get off the stage, you didn't get anything, no reward for you. No, we want to be there for a while. So, that's the point. Workers together, you didn't get the grace of God in vain. Because of the grace of God, we can make known Jesus Christ. Because we can speak in tongues, which is the proof, go to Romans 5. And then we'll get to the Christmas part of the teaching. Romans 5, verse 8. Somebody disapproved of me because I didn't teach anything that had anything to do with Christmas. So I have to go there in a minute. All right. Romans 5, 8. But God commends his love towards us. Stop. Think. He commends his love towards us. That's good. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We now have salvation. We have been saved because of the accomplished work of Christ. Isn't that something worth telling people about? Have anybody seen a good movie or a bad movie recently? Do you tell people, go see this or don't go see that? Mm-hmm. What about Christ? It's only, you know, dealing with salvation and eternal life. Minor details. How about a good restaurant or a bad restaurant? Don't go there on Tuesday. You don't want to know what the cook does. Or, hey, Tuesday's a good time to be there. All right, we're saved by his life. And not only so, but we can also joy. We can joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We've received the reconciliation. We can be joyful. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, for until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. What did you get for Christmas? I got a free gift. I got Christ. He gave me eternal life. I didn't have to pay for it. It's not even on my credit card. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So we have quite the holiday present. We've got the free gift that keeps on giving for all eternity. The gift of Holy Spirit, the gift of God in Christ in you, the hope of glory, the gift, the unspeakable gift, the untrackable gift, and many other things it's called in the Word. But you got it. And guess what? You can't lose it. That's good. You can't lose it either once you get this free gift. So that's quite the holiday present. So with that, we go to Luke 1. Luke 1. Yes, this is the Christmas part of the teaching. Luke 1. But the reason for the season really is Christ, and let's keep Christ, not in Christmas because he wasn't there to start with, but we can keep Christ in the forefront. Luke 1:26. 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her, and the angel said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. So the angel came in and gave her quite an exhortation, quite a greeting. And when she saw him, she was troubled. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you be? You're there cooking the, you know, the turkey, and here she comes. Boom, angel. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. You know, I thought your typical shalom, you know, your typical good to see you, how you doing? Hi, you're highly favored of God, and you're going to have the Messiah. Not your typical. And behold, thou. Okay, so then angel 101 had to happen first, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary. That's the first thing the angels learn to say when they see humans. Fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, shall bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now that's pretty earth-shattering, what she's just been told. Then said Mary unto the angel, got one slight problem. I've never been with a man. And the angel answered and said, here's the chemistry behind it. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. The power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6 month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. She accepted. And nothing could happen until she accepted. This is what is being offered to you. Would you like to be the mother of the Son of God? Boy, little did she know what all was going to happen and everything else. However, she accepted. According to thy word, let it happen. Let it go. And then she ran off and she went and visited Elizabeth. And in verse 45, Elizabeth makes a wonderful statement here to her. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And there will be a performance of the things told us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that God has recorded in his word that his son's coming back. That we do have eternal life that is available to speak in tongues, to operate power. Blessed is she that believed. Blessed are you when you believe. There will be a performance, and there was, and we're talking about the Christ today, but all these other promises are out there also for us today that we can take hold on and live and expect to come to pass. Chapter 2, verse 6. And so it was that while they were in Bethlehem, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, and the photographer came and got a good picture because there was no room in the inn. And they were in the same country, shepherds. They're out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Close Encounters of the Third Kind, you know, that kind of light kind of, you know, type thing. Right. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there with the angel was a whole multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass that the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad. They told others about the baby Jesus, what he was going to accomplish on their behalf. They made it known abroad, the saying which was told them concerning the child, and all they that heard it were puzzled. They kind of wondered at those things which the shepherds had said. But Mary kept all those things and pondered them in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The things they heard, the things they saw, they told others. All right, we go to verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. He had a nice little condo overlooking a little pond there. His name was Simeon. He lived in Jerusalem. He was a just man. He was a devout man. And he waited for the consolation of Israel, but the Holy Spirit was upon him. Here, this is all we know about this guy. But he did have the Spirit of God upon him. He was one of the few who had the Spirit upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit. God told him by the Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So did he have to pay on his life insurance bill? No. He wasn't going to die. Wouldn't that be exciting? You know for sure that you weren't going to die until you saw the Christ. The first coming. What all these people had been waiting for. And the Spirit said to him, verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. God told him, time to go to the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, they then took he up in his arms, and he blessed God, and he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. Your word said that I would see him. I saw him. Praise God, I can finally die. It's finally over with. But he had received quite the promise. 36. Chapter 2, 36. But what do these people do? You know, they do what we're supposed to do. Talk to people about Christ. The shepherds did. Mary had to explain to Joseph the whole situation. And here we read in verse 36, there was Anna. Anna worked in the prison in Pueblo. Oh, no. Wrong Anna, sorry. And there was one Anna, a prophetess. So she had the Spirit of God upon her. She was a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. And when it means great age, it means great age. She had lived with her husband for 7 years from her virginity. That culture, she got married anywhere from 13 to 15 years old. And then she was a widow for the next 84 years. So we could sufficiently say she was well over 100 years old. And it wasn't 100 years old of the Old Testament people, where they were pretty spry. This is 100 years old, more towards, you know, eating bad food and McDonald's and things at the time. Or McDavid's, I guess they ate there.
McDavid's.
But anyway, she was living a long time. And she departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. She served God that way. Isn't that wonderful? And she coming in that instant, I love the fact that God included these records. These are just two simple believers who were alive at that time, who both had the Spirit, had both served God doing whatever. People say that John the Baptist was the last prophet for 400 years, but she was a prophetess, it says. So she was there. They were doing something for God. And she was serving God with fasting and prayers, and she came in just at that instant. What timing, what luck. And she gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. And you know what she did do then after that? She spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. She probably had an inner group of people who she'd studied the scrolls with, who really wanted to know. And she opened her mouth and spoke about the fact that the Savior had come. Here he is. He's here. He's going to grow up. He made it to earth. He's really here. She opened her mouth and spake of him to all that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. And we close in 249. When he got a few years older, he said unto them, "What are you looking around for me for? Don't you know I must be about my Father's business?" Isn't that what we should be doing too? Our labor shouldn't be in vain. We should be about our Father's business. We should be making known the Christ. We don't get to see baby Jesus, except little mangers, I guess, little scenes. But we do know he came once. We have the proof he came because we can speak in tongues. And we do know, because it's guaranteed from the promise of God, that he's coming back. And we don't know when, but maybe at noon tomorrow. Maybe. Don't know. Sometime. Noon today. I could say, oh, no, okay, we still got time. Noon today. Does it have to be noon? No, it doesn't. Sometime he's coming back, which is great. So let others know about it so that we who have received the grace of God don't receive it in vain. We labor with him. We do what he needs us to do. And one of the things he needs us to do is to break red meat together. Right. So we're all glad that everybody's here. And let's pray, and then Jack will close the meeting. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for sending your son that we can. We got so much because of what he accomplished for us. And we're grateful that you've allowed us to be able to understand the book, understand from the book what he accomplished to some degree, and just get real thankful for all that your plan of salvation is for us and for the millions or how many there are that have believed regarding your son over the years. We're grateful, Dad, for being a part of the body of Christ in this day and time and hour, and how much you do care for us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Jack, it's all yours.
All right, let's stand and sing number 55. Love lifted me. Something lifted me out of this chair. Number 55, page 23. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, oh, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I cling. In his presence daily live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love 3:16, John 3:16. When nothing else could help, John 3:16, oh, John 3:16. John 3:16. When nothing else could help, John 3:16. Okay, God bless you. Let's have a word of prayer to bless the food. And we've got horns of plenty over here. So, Ed, would you pray for the abundant sharing and for the food?
Heavenly Father, thank you for the great opportunity to be able to give of a cheerful heart. Thank you for the principles in your word that work so soundly and mathematically exact. That was we give, we receive, and that you just bless us abundantly for all that we've done, just loving you and being loved by you. And I thank you so much for the word and for great food and breaking of bread, and for blessing us and keeping us healthy and strong. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
So I have Joan
went over there.
She went over there. Okay, I guess you're going to need to start in the far end and come across that way on the table.
Cool.
Great.
I'll use these steps.
Thank you.
Hurry, hold it.